may get tired of this, but he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We have been looking over for the midweek services in Lent at different individuals who were a part of the Passion history. And I know some of them were a little bit peculiar. We had Nicodemus that we looked at, which we normally may not think of him being part of the Passion, but yet he shows up after Jesus dies on the cross with Joseph of Arimathea to place Jesus in the tomb. We looked at a couple of them that we pretty much think of every time we think about the Passion history. Judas and Peter, the betrayer and the one who denied Jesus. We looked at one of the mob, which wasn't really an individual person, but we looked at the idea of how it is so easy to follow, to be a follower, and how quickly that crowd, that mob, turned on Jesus. We looked at the disciples as collectively as a group, the closest-knit people that followed Jesus and that he taught. And then we looked at also Pontius Pilate and Caiaphas, who were part of the trials. And so we've looked at those various people. And so this morning, who we're going to look at is the women. Because the women are the first people at the tomb on Easter morning. But I want to start just a little bit before the tomb. Because these women had followed Jesus around during his ministry. They ministered to him. They cared for him throughout his ministry. And so you might say, I mean, they were really close friends of Jesus. And if we look at Matthew chapter 27, I'm going to back up just a few verses from the gospel reading for this morning. But Matthew chapter 27, verses 55 and 56, it says, "Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons." Now this is a description that's taking place at the cross. I don't know for sure. I tried to go back and make sure. I read through the gospel accounts of the trial, the arrest, the beating, and the flogging of Jesus, and it doesn't appear that the women are there. They've been with him throughout his ministry, but if you remember, Jesus is arrested at night, late at night, maybe even early in the morning. And so I know movies portray the women being there at his trials, and they're weeping, and they're wailing, they're crying because they're seeing their friend beaten and flogged and you know, just brutally treated. But I don't know if we know for sure if they were at the trial. But what we know is that they were at the cross, because it's described that they're at the cross at a distance watching. Now, I don't know about you, but that had to be horrific for them. To see in their minds, I mean, in everyone's minds, even Pilate's mind, an innocent man being crucified, being treated the way Jesus was treated. And so they're off at a distance looking at the cross and probably wondering, how did all of this happen? How did we get to the cross where we are today with our friend Jesus on the cross? It goes on and says then in verse 57 of chapter 27, "As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own tomb, new tomb that had been cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb." So we know that the women are at the cross. And we know now that they're sitting opposite the tomb watching everything that is happening and watching that stone being rolled in front of the tomb where Jesus' lifeless body was placed. And I can only imagine the grief that they were feeling. And I know that most of us have been in that situation at some point in our life where we have lost a loved one, where we have lost a friend, and we're scratching our heads trying to figure out how did such a turn, how did this happen so quick, and we're really beside ourselves. We're grieving. We're hurting. And that's where I think we see these women at the cross standing at a distance, at the tomb, watching as that stone is rolled in front of the tomb and Jesus' lifeless body in there. I mean, their friend is dead. There is no other way around it. And now, this was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, and so they really didn't have time to prepare Jesus' body like people normally would have at that time. And so now they had to sit and wait through the whole Sabbath. And you know what happens on the Sabbath? Nothing. They can't work. They can't do anything. Do you know, or I can't imagine, I guess, what was going through their minds sitting there all day long with really all they had to do is what? Think about it. Think about probably Jesus' life, his ministry, his trial, and the cross. And probably the images that were ingrained in their minds was him bleeding and hanging on the cross and being placed in that tomb. Then we have the first day of the week. I already read this, but I'm going to read it again, portions of it at a time. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Different gospel writers describe this in different ways, but all that we have here in Matthew is they're going to look at the tomb. So you almost get this idea, okay, they're just going to go look. I guess kind of like we do, though, at graves sometimes. We just go visit the grave. And so they're going to the tomb, really, just to look. Just, I guess, see, is this real? Now, a couple of the other Gospels describe for us that they're taking spices with them to finish preparing Jesus' body for what they would consider a proper burial at that time. And so they're the women, they're just on their way to the tomb, probably still bewildered, confused, upset, just really beside themselves as to all the events that happened. And when they get there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, I think we have to understand this. This earthquake did not happen when the women got to the tomb. According to the other Gospels, this earthquake had already happened at some point during the early morning or before the women arrived there. But what it's describing for us is when the women get there, what do they see? The stone has been rolled away, and this angel is sitting up on top of the stone. Now, a couple of the other Gospels describe angels in the tomb and in different things, but what we know for sure is that there was some sort of angelic beings there, right? And he's sitting on that stone, and the women see this. Instead of the stone rolled in front of the tomb, they see that the stone has been rolled away. Then verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the angel already knows what they're going there for, right? They're going there to see Jesus and to see the tomb. But the angel says, I know what you've come for. You came to see Jesus, but he's not here. He is risen. And so, I don't know. Have you ever experienced a time where you felt fear, where you felt just a heavy weight on you, and then all of a sudden it's been lifted? And I'm going to say that had to be at least part of what those women felt at that time. Even though they weren't sure still what was going on or where is Jesus, but it had to be, oh, this is incredible. And the words that the angel, three words really that the angel tells them to do is what? Go and tell. Now, the angel tells him to go and tell the disciples and that he's going to meet up with them in Galilee. But he says, go and tell. And then in verse 8, so the women hurried away. So what are the women going to go do? They're going to go and tell. And so they hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. Understandable, right? They're excited that Jesus is risen, but what? They're afraid because they still don't quite understand what is going on here. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. On the way back to tell the disciples, who do they run into? Jesus himself. Now the weight has to be completely lifted. I mean, because... Did I feel the sprinkle? Yeah. Because now they know for sure that he's alive. But did you notice what Jesus even tells the women? What did he say? Go and tell. The women here are going to be those first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And I think that really those are the words that God has for us in his word today too. Go and tell. Tell what? Tell what they have witnessed and experienced. Because these women experienced Jesus' whole ministry, his whole life. They saw him raise people from the dead. They saw him heal people. They saw him minister to people. We don't know if they saw him. He's risen. We don't know for sure what all they experienced with his flogging and beating, but we know they witnessed the cross, and we know that they witnessed the empty tomb. And God and Jesus wanted them to go and tell the message that he is risen. Because that is the most important thing really about Easter. I mean, the cross is extremely important as well. That's where we get the forgiveness of our sins, where Jesus took our punishment. But without the resurrection, the cross really means nothing. You know, as I thought about the go and tell, what do we sing at Christmas time? Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. We need to add some more verses. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is risen. That is our message to the world. Knowing that Jesus died for us, the women were so excited knowing that he was alive. We've experienced Jesus' life, death, and resurrection personally because he brings to us forgiveness and life. And now we go and tell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here this morning. What an awesome morning it is to be in your presence and Lord, to fully experience your life, death, and resurrection. And now we have the opportunity to experience you personally in the Lord's Supper. Lord, we ask that you would continue to fill us with your spirit, and Lord, fill us with a passion to share your love with the people around us and to share the message of the cross and the empty tomb so that more people will come to know who you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.